Welcome to Through the Bible with Pastor Michael, a podcast from First Baptist Church in Mustang, Oklahoma. Here's Pastor Michael.
Today we look at Joshua chapters 10, 11, and 12. Five observations. Number one, a miraculous act occurs as the sun stands still. We see that chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. You'll get some different scholars and theologians who will argue and debate just a little bit about what they think is happening there. And there are several scientific explanations that are just according to the general laws of physics, so to speak, and in keeping with what we know about the earth and science and on and on. This seems best, though, to see as a true miraculous act rather than trying to explain it in the sense of an eclipse or something like that. It seems to be a miraculous act that the explanation is God doing what a miracle is, stopping the normal rules of science and physics and how the universe works and changing it briefly for a specific purpose. Second, their success came because the Lord fought for them. Chapter 10, verse 8, "Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hand." Verse 14, "For the Lord fought for Israel." And so the same God who is causing the sun to stand still is the same God who is giving these people into their hands. Now that's going to create a bit of an interesting juxtaposition we'll look at here in just a moment. A third observation is that a summary is given of Joshua's southern military conquest. That these three chapters read like just a long series of names and lands and kings and can be a bit confusing. But here's what's happening. In chapter 10, we get a summary of Joshua's southern military conquest. And then a fourth observation is that in chapter 11, we get a summary of Joshua's northern military conquest. And then a fifth observation is that we see a list of 31 kings that were defeated over a time period of about 7 years. If you look in chapter 11, verse 18, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. It's about 7 years that takes place. And over that list of time in chapter 12, we're told about these 31 different kings that are defeated. You've got a list of kings that Moses defeated east of the Jordan, a list of kings that Joshua defeated west of the Jordan. And once you're into the Jordan there, it walks you through central, southern, and then northern conquests that take place. And so just a little bit, hopefully, of some organization to help you to understand what you're reading. As far as the applications go, there is a key point that I think is very helpful to understand that I want to look at. Number one, trust in God drives out fear. Trust in God drives out fear. You can be afraid of man, or you can fear God and fear no man. The text tells us today that they need to not be afraid. Chapter 10, verse 8, the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear them." Trust in God drives out fear. Second, the power of God has no equal. Whether it's God's power in causing the sun to stand still or God's power in giving military leaders over to Joshua, God's power has no equal. In that sense, he has no true rival. There are those that would oppose the Lord. The devil would oppose the Lord. The demons would oppose the Lord. Unbelievers would oppose the world. The systems of this world would oppose the Lord. In that sense, the Lord has opponents. But in terms of equals, the Lord has no rival. Now, I want you to notice the third observation. Obedience is our responsibility. Victory is God's doing. This really gets down to the essence of how the Christian lives our daily life. Obedience is our responsibility. Joshua was to obey the word of God. His people were to go and subdue the land. They were to go and engage and win the battle. They were to do the hard work once they went into the land. Obedience is our responsibility, but victory is God's doing. Any victory we experience because the Lord has brought it to us. As the psalmist said, the horse is prepared for battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. And so you see the Lord giving Joshua very specific instructions of what he and the people are supposed to do. They are supposed to obey. But the victory they experience is because the Lord gave it to them. Verse 32, the Lord gave them into the hand of Israel. Chapter 10, verse 14, the Lord fought for Israel. And so you see that. Again, in chapter 10, verse 42, the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. And so the people are responsible to be obedient, but the victory belongs to the Lord. Now that leads to a fourth application. Even God's providence does not rule out our obedience. God in His providence is orchestrating things to accomplish His will. Yet, within His providence, we are called to be obedient. We are called to do what God has called us to do. And so, yes, we live under His hand of providence. We rest under His sovereignty. But we are still to be obedient. We are still to do what God has called us to do. So, we trust in His providence. God is doing what only God can do. But His providence does not rule out our obedience. We still teach our children. We still pray for people to be saved. We still come to church to worship. We still use our spiritual gifts for the sake of the body of Christ. But while we're doing all that, God is still providentially accomplishing His will. How does all that fit together? Well, I'm not responsible to accomplish God's providence. That's what God does. I'm responsible to be obedient and to rest in Him, to be obedient and trust in what He is doing. So, application three, obedience is our responsibility, victory is God's doing. Application four, even God's providence doesn't rule out our obedience. We're still called to do that. That leads to a fifth application. God's promises are sure, even if it seems a long time coming. God's promises are sure, even if it seems a long time coming. God calls out Abram around 2000 BC. He then calls out Moses 500 years later, around 1500 BC. And now the people are entering into the land around 1400 BC. That's a long time. It's a long time between God's promise to Abraham and Joshua leading the people into the land. Here's the application. God's promises are sure. It may seem a long time coming. It may seem like it's delaying. But as Habakkuk reminds us in that minor prophet, God's promises, God's word will not delay even if it seems slow. It may seem slow to us, but it's right on time according to God's providence. In the same way, Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, our Savior was born. It had been a long time since God had given the promise to send a Redeemer. It may have seemed slow, but it was right on time. And so we trust and rest in His timing. And then a summary of Psalm 55. Sometimes our deepest pain is not from our enemies, but from those we trusted. Yet, we trust in God. In Psalm 55, there is pain here in David's heart, not because enemies were attacking him, but because of a familiar friend, verse 13 says, had betrayed him. Sometimes that's our deepest pain, when those close to us hurt us. Yet, the psalm ends, verse 23, last words, but I will trust in you. So sometimes as we seek to follow the Lord, people around us hurt us, betray us, injure us, turn their back on us, and those things hurt. They really do. But even in those moments, yet we trust in the Lord. Even when opposition arises, yet we will trust in the Lord. So we trust in God to do what He is doing. We trust His sovereignty. We trust His providence. And while we are doing that, we are seeking to be obedient to all that He's given to us. Let's be faithful. Let's be obedient. And then we trust and rest however God chooses to reward our obedience. We'll leave that into His hands, trusting His word. His promise will come to pass. Even if it feels slow, it's right on time according to His perfect will. Enjoy your reading today.